All right, everybody, welcome to episode 5 of the Fighter Pilot Professor. I'm your host, Meta. And today we're going to jump into our first voicemail question. It's going to be awesome. Our friend Richard Trainer sent me a voicemail question, so we'll play that and listen to what I have to say. We'll also talk about how do I deal with success? Once I've achieved it, now what? How do I deal with that and prevent myself from failing? So I hope you enjoy. We'll jump right in.
Anyhow, the question I had is about the Hamas and the war going on. My question is, was Palestine ever actual country?
All right, so thanks for your question, Richard. And the short answer is yes and no, all at the same time. It's complicated, like a lot of things in that part of the world. But the short story is the area that is called Palestine was never really what we might define as a independent state, nation state, with one brief exception, and that exception existed between the 1948 division of the British Mandate and the 1967 Six-Day War. So how do I mean by that? You can go all the way back to biblical times, frankly, and talk about who had possession of what we might now call the Holy Land or Israel or Palestine or however you want to divide it. But long story short is, for the most part, from essentially the Roman conquest, actually before that, arguably since the Babylonian conquest of the state of Israel back in the biblical times, the area that is now Israel and Palestine largely has been conquered by various people, the Romans, the Byzantines, the Ottomans. But for the most part, from give or take round about the mid 600s until the fall of the Ottoman Empire at the end of World War I, so 1300 years roughly, the area that is now Palestine went by some combination of Syria, Damascus, Palestine, or something like that. But that area was often controlled by either the Ottoman Empire or its predecessors, various Muslim caliphates that ruled, but none of them were actually based out of what we would call Israel or Palestine now. That similarly, the Crusaders did actually possess a small part of the territory at one point in the 1100s, but for the most part, it was a predominantly Muslim-ruled area. Now, that's not to say that there weren't Jews and Christians and other ethnic groups living there, ethnic and religious groups living there. There certainly were, as much as there are today. There were various populations living in Palestine and Israel from the beginning of time, right? So that is a complicated question with a complicated answer, but the short answer is, no, there was never a nation state of Palestine. The one brief exception, that period from the end of the British Mandate at the end of World War II in 1947 until the 1967 Six-Day War, the Palestinians established a Transjordan nation in Palestine between Gaza and the West Bank. However, both Gaza and the West Bank were sort of administered by outside nations, and Egypt and Jordan would be respectively. So Egypt administered Gaza, Jordan administered the West Bank, and then the Palestinians that were in Gaza and the West Bank set up their own government. And that persisted until the 1967 Six-Day War, which, as I discussed in the previous episode, is one of the main sticking points between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And so, again, when people talk about going back to a two-state solution, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about going back to the post-1948, pre-1967 division of Israel between the Palestinian Authority that was given to them under the UN division of the British Mandate of Palestine and the modern state of Israel. So hopefully that helps. It is very confusing and complex and not an easy answer, but that's the best I can do to simplify it. Have a good one. So the corollary to my discussion the other day about failing on the way to success is failing after success. So I've achieved something great. I've set my sight on a goal and I've achieved it. And then at some point after that achievement comes the fall, as it were, right? And this is the subject of books and movies and celebrity tabloids and all kinds of things, right? This is a common thing where people achieve some level of success and then they fall apart afterwards. And that, in my opinion, typically happens for two reasons. The first one is we achieve success and we're never satisfied, and therefore we are always chasing the next success. So what do I mean by that? You know, it's like you climb the proverbial mountain, you look out once you get to the top of the mountain, and there are hundreds of more mountains to climb. And so you go start chasing that next mountain to climb. In other words, you are never satisfied with the achievement that you have just accomplished, and you're always looking for the next achievement. The second one, and the second one kind of has two parts, but the second one is essentially like, I've achieved this level of success and I'm just going to stop here and I'm going to rest and then never do anything else again. The sort of corollary to that, or the other part, the other side of that coin of stopping, is I feel that I am now entitled to success no matter how much I'm willing to work after I've achieved that success. So both of those things, either just the flat out desire to stop or the feeling that I'm deserving of success no matter what, lead to the same path, which is you stop working for success. So how do I sort of thread that needle between always chasing the next thing and just completely stopping or feeling like I'm deserving of success? Well, I'd offer that the first thing you have to do is celebrate your success. If you're unwilling to celebrate your success, then that success is hollow. So, you know, I just recently watched the documentary on Netflix, Swamp Kings, and they talk about, you know, winning the national championship and then the next day or that day, you know, start planning for what happens next, right? There's no rest. There's no resting on that success. There's no celebrating that success. And I think that leads to burnout ultimately, right? So what do? You got to celebrate your success. That's the first thing. Have a party, whatever it is that you want to do, but celebrate that success in some way. The second thing is you have to then do maintenance, right? And if you want to think of it this way, everything in your life requires some level of maintenance, right? You got to get a haircut from time to time. Your car needs regular servicing. Your grass needs mowing. The paint on your house eventually needs repainting. Whatever it is, like everything requires some level of maintenance. And I'd offer that success also requires some level of maintenance. And so once you get to that level of success and then you celebrate it, now the question is, what do I do to maintain this success, right? And here's the tricky part. If you're not moving forward, you're standing still. And if you're not standing still, you're moving backwards. So what do I mean by that? Is that maintenance of my success needs to actually be this like slight forward progress, slight ways of improving. What can I do better here? How do I do the better here? The frustrating part of that is often that I have to invest increasingly more time for shorter and shorter returns. But if I want to maintain the thing that I have, then I have to constantly work on it and move it along positively in little incremental steps. Because if I just freeze right there, I'm ultimately not going to progress or maintain. I'm eventually going to start to fall backwards. And so small improvements, using my house analogy, right? Like small improvements. Every once in a while, I got to replace the carpet, right? That's a small improvement. Or get a new refrigerator or whatever, right? That is an improvement. I'm going to repaint, get new wallpaper, whatever. Those are improvements to my house, right? If I don't do that, it gets dated. So I can maintain it and make it look really nice, right? But my house eventually will be dated if I don't do things like update the carpet, et cetera, right? Same thing with the success. If I don't update it, keep it maintained and improve it ever so slightly, eventually it will be dated, right? And then the worst thing of all is if I do nothing, then eventually my house will fall apart. So this is the same idea. So there you go. I think the trick to not failing after success is, first of all, celebrate your success. And then second of all, work steadily but incrementally to improve what you've done in order to maintain it or slightly improve it as it goes along. So there you go. That's my thoughts on preventing failure after success. Hope you enjoy it. And as always, keep posting your questions, sending me emails, messages, whatever, on how to, on what you want to talk about next. Thanks. All right, that'll do it for episode 5. Thanks to Richard for shooting me his question. Keep that up. Send me your email questions, post a question in the episode, or give me a voicemail. We'll throw your questions in. And then hopefully in the near future, we'll be working towards getting some video podcasts done. So that'll be a nice little wrinkle to the Fighter Pilot Professor, although I do kind of have a face for radio, so we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, hope you have a good one.